Begin the current daf, Masechtas Bava Metzia, daf Mem Aleph. Begin on the bottom of daf Mem Amud Beis, 7 lines up in the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing in the theme of this parak of Hamafkid regarding the halachas of a deposit. Our Mishnah mentions a specific halacha. Hamafkid chavas itzel chaver. Someone deposits something by his friend. V'lo yichdu lo bay lemakom. And the owner didn't designate a specific place in the house of the shomer, of the watchman, to tell him, I want you to lend me that corner of your house. He didn't specify a place. So therefore the following halacha will result. The tiltal of the nishtabra, then let's say the shomer moved that guy's object and it broke. So explains the Mishnah. If it broke from his hand when he was holding and moving that guy's thing that he was watching for him. So it depends. If litzarchai, if he was moving it, the shomer, for his own utility because he wanted to use it, then he's liable. He has no right to use that guy's thing. He's watching it. It's not for him to borrow. He's watching it. So if it broke from his own hand, then he's chayev. Litzarka. But however, if let's say he was moving it for the utility of the object itself, because let's say it was in the open area and it was easily going to break, so quickly he went to move it, and as he was moving it, it fell out of his hand and broke, then potter, then he's exempt because his whole purpose was for the aveda, for the object, not for himself. So therefore, that's not a liability. Now, however, if this already happened after he had already put it back down, then he finished using it for whatever purpose he used it for. Then he put it back in a protected place. And then Nishbra, then it broke? Says the Mishnah, then Bein Letzarcha, whether this that he had originally used it in the beginning, whether for its for the object's purpose or whether even for his own purpose, then Potter, then he's going to be exempt because he had already finished with it and then it broke. Then he's like a regular Shreim Achinam, where if something or an Oinus happens to it, then he's going to be exempt. That's if there was no specific place that the owner had said, I want to watch it for me in that place. But yichdul habay lamakom, it says the Mishnah, let's say he had designated a place where he wants to, this guy should keep it in his house for him. And then v'tiltla v'nishbra, then the watchman, the shomer, moved it and it broke. So bein mitoch yodei ubein mishenicha, whether if it was when he had used it or whether even if he already put it back down, says the Mishnah, litzarchai chayev. If he used it for himself, he's going to be chayev, which the Gemara is going to explain why is it any different when he designated a place or didn't. Why, when he didn't designate a place, if he already put it back down? Even if he used it for himself, he's going to be potter. Whereas over here, if he designated a place, even once he puts it back down, he will be chayv if he used it for his own purpose. But letzarcha potter, but if he had moved it for the utility of the object itself, then he's going to be exempt. That's the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, Homani, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? In other words, this that we learned in the Reisha of the Mishnah, that if after he put it back down, only then did it break, even though initially when he had used it, he used it for his own purposes, which he wasn't supposed to use it for. Still, since it only happened after he had put it back down, he's going to be exempt because it only happens when he returned it, and then it's already back to its original state, which is in the domain of the owner, and therefore he's then back to his original halacha of a shomer chinam, which if an oinus happens, he's going to be exempt. Even though he didn't notify the owner to tell him, I just want you to know that I know you told me to watch this, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. I actually used your thing, but I put it back. He didn't tell him that. Still, we consider that as if he returned it and it's back to its original state, and he's back not anymore as like a ganav or anything, but rather as a regular shamer because it's right back to what it used to be, and therefore he's going to be exempt from the einus where it broke afterwards. Who's that like? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel, it's going like Rabbi Shmuel. Dama, that he says, when you're returning something that was stolen, which essentially this is what this guy did. He was watching this guy's thing. He said, let me see this. And he was enjoying it for his own purposes. Then he put it back. Then this happens. So he stole it, but then he returned it. But he never told that to the owner. So it's Rabbi Shmuel, who's the Tana of a Mishnah, that says that it's considered like you returned it. Because you don't need the awareness of the owner when you return something that was stolen. The Tana, like, learn the Braisla. Hagoinev telemena eder. If someone steals a sheep from a flock, or veselem and a kiss, or a coin from a wallet. Lamokim shagonav yachser. The Rabbi Shmuel says, from the place where you stole it, that's where you put it back. You put it right back where it's like back to its original state. Rabbi Kiva Omer, he disagrees. He says, as a continued type of Mimalas and Aleph, he says, no, tzarach das bailim. You need the awareness of the owner. And therefore, even if you return it, if you never notify the owner that you returned what was stolen, there's going to still be a liability if the animal then dies or if it gets stolen after that. From when he had, because from the moment that the guy stole it, it was already in his domain. Now, he has to then do what's called hashavas hagezela, returning what was stolen. But returning without the owner's awareness is not considered returned because he doesn't know you give it back to him. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva holds that no, you have to return it with the awareness of the owner. So therefore, it seems like the halacha of a Mishnah is like Rabbi Shmuel, who says that when he puts it back, then the oinus happens. It's not considered like it's still yours, and therefore like a gazan, your chayv, and the oinsin. No, it's considered like you returned it, even though you never told this to the owner. Now that the Gemara asks, Ir Rabbi Shmuel, if the Tana of a Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel, so my ir yelo yachdu, so then why did the Reish and the Mishnah say that this halacha would be specifically? If no area was designated, then even if an area was designated that, okay, that's where he wants, I want you to watch my thing for me in that corner of your house. I like that corner, I want you to watch for a moment. Even there should apply, but once he returns it, he should be exempt. So why does it say it only by lo yichdu? So that the Gemara says, no, you're right. Lo yimabaya kama. We didn't have to say that. We don't have to say that this halacha of exemption would apply when he designated a place, the mekaymahu, where, well, that's the place of the owner. In other words, since he returned it to that place, it's like you really gave it back to the purse or the flock of the owner. You put it right back where it's his place. So of course the Rabbi Shmuel would hold, which is the Tana of the Mishnah, that you're going to be patur. But to the contrary, the Mishnah is telling us a bigger chiddush, saying that even though there's no specific place, the lav makaymahu, so therefore when you're putting it back, you're not really putting it back in the place of the owner. And so therefore, maybe you would think that, okay, so he's chayv because he stole it and now he can't return it. And that's what the Mishnah is teaching, is that no, libi in the dust pile, you don't need the awareness of the owner, and really essentially every place in the house is considered his place. And that's the chiddush of lo yachdu, but you're right, of course yachdu would also be considered a hashava, and therefore you would be exempt from when you put it back down if anything happens to it. Now that the Gemara asks, how could you say that? Eim seifa. Look at the next case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, yichdu l'habay l'makam, but if let's say the owner designated a place where he wants to get a watch from him, v'tiltel of a nishbara, and he moved it and it broke, said the Mishnah, whether something happened to it from when he was holding it in his hands or even after he put it down, if it's letzar chayiv, chayiv, if he used it for his own purpose, he's going to be chayiv, and only letzar kapater, only if it was for the, he moved it for the utility of the object, so something shouldn't happen to it, then he's going to be exempt. But we see that when he used it for himself, that if it was yichdu l'makam, that he's going to be chayiv. But why? If it's going like Rabbi Shmuel, it should be pata, because to the contrary, yichdu makam, you put it right back, and you did your hashav already. So that the Gemara answers, asan Rabbi Kiva. The seifa of a Mishnah is like Rabbi Kiva. The Amar that he says, be'inan das bailam, that you need to have the awareness of the owner. So therefore, even though you put it back, he doesn't know that you took it, you were a gazel. Now you want to do a Shabbos Exela, put it right back? Well, he doesn't know about that. You haven't fulfilled the Shabbos Exela. It's still considered like in the domain of you as a Goslin. Even if a Oinus happens, you're going to be Chayiv. Now the Gemara asks, Ira Bekiva, but if the save of the Mishnah is like a Bekiva, well then my Ira Yachtu. Then why does the Mishnah then say it specifically in the case when it was designated a place where he should watch it? A Filo Yachtu Nami. Then even if it wasn't designated, it doesn't make a difference. There also, you're not going to be fulfilling your Shabbos Exela. So then why did it say only by Yichtu that you're going to be Chayiv? The Gemara answers, no, loy meboya kama. It's saying that we didn't have to say that. In other words, loy meboya loy achto, we don't have to say that you're going to be chayib when no area was designated, with the lab mekaymahu, where essentially then there is no place of the owner's domain, and therefore for sure there is not going to be considered a chazara, a hashabas exelam. Ella rather, what Rabbi Kiva was teaching was, afila yichdu nami. Even if there was a designated place, to mekaymahu, that, so that essentially this is like the place of the owner, it's like it's his corner, and still we're teaching you that's not considered hashavas exela because be'inan das bailam, you need to have the awareness of the owner, which you don't have even though it's his place. So the Gemara asks, what, reisha Rabbi Shmuel b'sefer Rabbi Kiva? So it comes out that you explain the reisha of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Shmuel, and there it's loy mebaya, and the sefer is Rabbi Kiva, which also you're saying loy mebaya in the reverse, but those are the opposite opinions regarding if you need to have das bailam or not, that you're saying essentially the machlekes between them is between the Reish and the Sefer, is a machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, where Rabbi Shmuel holds that you don't need das bailam, and therefore you're exempt in all situations. And the Sefer is Rabbi Kiva, where you actually chayv in all situations. The fact that it switches from yichdu to leichdu, from starting in the Reish leichdu and the Sefer yichdu, is only because they say extra chiddush in each one of those opinions. And I think Mor says in yes, that it actually is two different tanoim in the Reish to the Sefer of a Mishnah. He says, "Manda metargamli. Whoever is going to interpret to me the halacha of a Mishnah of chavis of this barrel, aliba dechad tana, according to one tana, Mavilna ma'ane basri lebe mesusa. I will do an act of service to that person. I will take his clothing after him to the bathhouse, meaning to show that I'm indebted to him, to his superiority, and explain to me this halacha of the Mishnah, because it's not like one Tana, it's the ratio is like Rabbi Shmuel and the sefer is like Rabbi Kiva. Now, however, albeit Rabbi Yochanan saying that it was only according to one Tana, Tirgama Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba kameh de Rav. So Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba said in front of Rav that you could explain the halacha of the Mishnah being like one Tana, but in two different types of cases. The ratio would be talking about that it was returned to its place. Now, the reason being is because essentially anywhere where you put it back as a shomer is to its place. Because as we explained, the ratio of the Mishnah is tomat lo yichtu, that there was no designated place where to watch it. Now, the Sefer, when it says that he put it back, he did not put it back in the specific place that it was designated for, where, and that would actually be the conclusion of the Gemara, because as Rashi explains, the conclusion of the Gemara that says that the Sefer is talking about where he put it back in a place which was not his designated place, as we learned, the Sefer is talking about where he had designated a place, and although he put it back, but he didn't put it back in the designated place, that's going back on all the three answers that the Gemara will give of Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Nosson, and Rabbi Sheshes. And since he, when the Shomer put it back not in this designated place, well, that's not considered putting it back, and therefore you have not fulfilled HaShabbos Egzela, and therefore he's still going to be Chayev if he had used it for his own purposes, even if this happens after he put it back down. But what's the case talking about that it could be like one Tana? So explains Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba in front of Rav, he said, he's talking about Shenotla, where originally when the Shomer had taken that object that he was watching, he took it amanas l'goizla, with the intention of stealing it. In other words, he's interpreting when the Mishnah says that there's letzarka and letzarchai, letzarka meaning for the utility of the object that's being watched, that nothing should happen to it, then he's potter. When it says that he's chayiv, when he used it letzarchai for his own purposes, that means to say that he took it actually to steal. He liked this thing, he says, I want to steal it. Now, because the reason is, if let's say he had used it just to borrow it, or for some other utility for his own purposes, but since he didn't steal it, therefore Rabbi Yaakov holds, as the Gemara will shortly explain this, then any return will be valid. And therefore, wherever he puts it back down, he'll be exempt from Einzin. It's only because it's told about that when this guy, the Shem, originally took it, he took it to steal it. Now, by stealing, that's what the Torah says, Ve'heshev es exil, you have to return what was stolen. Now, therefore, in the case of the Sefer, when he put it back down in a place which was not designated by the owners, that's not considered Hashavas Exil. He didn't return it to exactly where the designated place was. And that's why, in the case of the Sefer, there's going to be a Chiv even after he put it back down. But again, if he didn't take it for stealing, then there's no Veheshim. And therefore, wherever he puts it back down, it would be exempt. That's Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba's interpretation. Tirgum Rabbi Nosson bar Abba, but Rabbi Nosson bar Abba, he said Kameh d'Rav in front of Rav, that even if it wasn't taken with the purposes of stealing the whole thing, but rather, Shenotla manas l'shloich b'yad, that he had taken it to, which literally means say, stretch out a hand to it, meaning he wanted to take some of it, but he didn't take it. And that is what Rabbi Nosson is explaining, that even so, it's going to be considered all in his domain, and it's going to be like he stole it, and going to be chayiv in the halacha of hashava of returning it, and therefore him too he'll explain that if you return it in the halacha of the seifa to a place which is not its place, again the ratio every place its place because there was no designated place, but in the seifa where there was a designated place, then that's not going to be considered a full return. Now Rashi interjects over here. He says that Rav Sheshes, who we're going to shortly quote, didn't let Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Nosson conclude their terutz and their answers. And he asked the question in their interpretation, which according to either one of their interpretations, that they're saying that he took it, whether he took it because he wanted to steal the whole thing, or he only wanted to take part of it. And that Rav Sheshes is going to ask, but what does it say, that nutla, that he took it? And therefore Rav Sheshes is going to give a different interpretation. But still Rashi is explaining that the conclusion of the Gemara that says that the Sefer is talking about where the Shomer, when he put it back down in the place which was not the designated place, is going actually on not just on Rav Sheshes' answer, as we'll shortly see, but also on Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Nosson. It's just Rav Sheshes asks on one point, and therefore gives a different interpretation. But first the Gemara asks, B'mai Kamifliki. So what is this Machlekes Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Nosson, how to interpret the halacha of the Mishnah, that either that he had originally taken it with Letzarche means to steal it, or that Letzarche means, like Rabbi Nosson saying it, L'shleich Bayad? What is it that they're disagreeing regarding? So the Gemara explains, what they're disagreeing regarding is b'shliches yad. Regarding the halacha, what the Torah makes a shomer liable for, even if he's a shomer chinam, even on oinsin, even on something beyond his control, if he went and he stretched out a hand and he misappropriated the object, he wasn't allowed to touch it, he's just watching, and he went and he used it, he utilized it. The pasuk says in Shmos Chabez that umeis oinishba, if the animal died or was broken or was taken in captivity, in other words, something beyond the person's control. Says the pasuk, so shvus Hashem ti bein shneim, so he has to swear that im loy shalach yodeh begam, that if he didn't stretch out his hand to it. Which the inference is that if he was shalech biyad, if he did misappropriate the object that he was watching, then he would be liable for all those things said in the pasuk, which are death and shviya, which are things beyond the person's control, even of ainsin. So it's regarding that halacha that they dispute if tzricha chisaron, if it needs to have a lacking. In other words, that it will not be considered that he misappropriated it, that it should be considered in his domain to be liable for all types of ainsin, only if there was a chisaron, something lacking now happened in the object because he misappropriated. So that's what the Gemara explains. Manda malugayz lo, Rabbi Yaakov interpreted that it's talking about where the guy originally took it for his own purposes, is that it says that he took it to steal it. That's because ksava he holds shlichas yad shlicha chisaron, that when you misappropriate it, when you stretch out, when you use the object, it needs to be lacking. Now, our Mishnah doesn't mention anything that it was lacking, and therefore he can't say that the Allah is talking about where you'd be chayv and oinsin, where even after you put it down, because you didn't do hashava because of shlichas yad, because there is no halach of shlichas yad according to Rabbi Yaakov, because it needs chisaron, and there is no chisaron, there's no lacking that happened in it. But Amanda Mishlo, and that's why you have to say something about a case of where he took it for gezela. Oh, gezela, okay, then even if there's no lacking, you're chayv and hashava as gezela. But Amanda Mishloach b'yad, but according to Rabbi Nosson, who said that it's Soma where he had taken the Litzarcha, it means to say to misappropriate, it means to use it for not the purpose of the object itself that he was supposed to watch. Kesavish lichasyat, in the chasar, and he also said stretching out, misappropriating, does not need any lacking. So if it doesn't need any lacking, then why do we have to say Litzarcha means that he wanted to steal it? Doesn't mean he stole it. It means even if Lishloach b'yad, even if he just wanted to use it for his own things, so even though nothing lacking happened to it, still that would make the liability of Shlichas Yad to be chayv and hashavas in the return, because up until that you're chayv and only einsin. And that's why the case of the Sefer that said that you didn't return, as we're going to shortly explain, to the exact place where it was designated, therefore he's still going to be chayv and einsin even after he put it down. But again, as Rashi explained before they get a chance to explain the terms of their answers, Maskev L'Rav Shesha. Rav Shesha asks, on both their interpretations, Midi Nutlukatani? Does the Mishnah say anything about that the Shomer went and took it? Which would sound like that he took it for himself, whether again you're interpreting that as stealing or misappropriating. Tiltlokatani. It just says that he moved it, which sounds like it was just utility. That's what the Mishnah means when it says Litzarcha, that he took it for his own purposes. So therefore, how do you say that it means for stealing or for Shlichas Bayad? Which that should have used the words taking. Here it says Tiltla, that he moved it. Elam Rav Sheshes, rather he gives a different interpretation. It says, Hach Maiskin, and so what is the case of Litzarcha of our Mishnah? Is Kugan Shatiltalahibiolagazalas. He wasn't stealing it and he wasn't planning on misappropriating it. He was just moving that object, let's say a step stool, to be able to get his birds. He wanted to be able to get to a higher plateau, like a ladder, to take the birds, which was from a high nest. Now, even so, explains Rav Sheshes, that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that it's going to be considered like he stole that object to be considered in the domain of the Shomer until he actually does a return. Because of a kesaver, Rav Sheshes holds, shoyel shaloi midas, that if somebody borrows something without the awareness of the owner, gasan haba, is considered as a robber. And therefore, since he's a robber, now it's his. So he has to then fulfill hashabas exela. Now, on that's what the Gemara concludes now, on all the answers, Rav Yaakov, Rav Nosson, and Rav Sheshes, that now we could understand, again, according to either interpretation, because either it's talking about that he was shoyel shaloi midas, he borrowed it without the owner's awareness, like Rav Sheshes said, or that he took it to steal it, or he took it to bishalech bayad, to misappropriate, whichever one it is. But now we could understand that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yochanan said, like two different Tanoim. It could be even like one Tana. V'kulo Rabbi Shmoli. And the whole Mishnah of Rabbi Shmoli, who, as we mentioned before, holds that you do not need Das Bailam. When you return it, you don't need the awareness of the owner. So then the question was, then how do we understand the Sefer? Why, if there was Yichud L'Makom, if it was a designated place, can he not just put it back? And if he does, that should be considered Hashabas Egzela, according to either one of those three interpretations. It's a return. And if he should be exempt, why is he Chayiv even after he put it back down? So that's what they all answer, B'Seifa. The Sefer that said he's going to be chayiv when it was a designated place is talking about shenicha b'makom she'ena mekayma, where it was put back down in a place which was not the designated place. So he never fulfilled hashavas egzela. But the reisha, which didn't have a designated place, every place he puts it down is the place of the owner. And since he doesn't need the asbailim, so it's like he returned it, so he's really back to his original status of the shomer, and therefore he wouldn't be chayiv in einsin. Or in contrast to the Seifa, where you didn't put it back in that designated place, so then you never did a full Hashava, and that's why you're going to be Chayiv. Now, but the Gemara tells that Rabbi Yechanan, who he said before that, oh, it can't be, whoever tells me that it's like one Tana, I'll take my clothing after him, which he held that you can't say it's all like Rabbi Shmuel, is because Hinicha, when the Seifa says that the Shema put it back down, B'mekayma Mashma, that sounds like that he put it back in its original place. And therefore, he couldn't explain that the Mishnah is going to be like Rabbi Shmuel and the Sefer too. Because if you put it back in its original place and you don't need the Aspilum, so then he's going to be exempt. Whereas they had said that no, Hinicha was told that it was put down not in its place. And that's why they were able to say this like Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara goes back to what we mentioned before and illustrates this Machlek. Is the Itmar we learned, Rav and Levi. Because Machlek is Rav and Levi. Chad Omar, one of them says that Shlich is Yad, which the Torah holds that a person or the shomer is liable if he misappropriated, if he touched and used the object that he was watching, which he wasn't supposed to, that he's going to be chayv now, and even einsin, like again, as it says in the pasuk, einishbar, einishbar, that if something as an oignis, where it dies suddenly, that the shvuas Hashem, tia b'neim, that he should take an oath to shomer, im lo shalach b'yad, that if he didn't go ahead and misappropriate it, which sounds like, but if he was shalach b'yad, that then he would be chayv, and all the einsin mentioned in the pasuk. One of these two Amaram says that tzricha chesaron, that it needs to have been had a lacking in it. In other words, even if it misappropriated, as long as didn't diminish, nothing, no lacking happened through that misappropriating, then it doesn't enter the domain of the shomer to be chayv in einsin. Whereas Acharam, and the other one says that no shlichas yad in a tzricha chesaron. No, the halacha of shlichas yad that you'll be liable now in all einsin is even if there was no chesaron, even if you just held it misappropriated, put it right back, nothing happened to it, still since you were shlich b'yad, you're going to be chayiv in ol einsin. That's their machlekes regarding halachas of shlichas bayad. So says the Gemara, t'stayim the Rav hu da'amar, but we could prove that Rav was the one that said that shlichas yad in a tzrichas yad, that misappropriating does not need to have a lacking for it to be considered shlichas yad. The time, because like we learned in the following braisa, Raya shohi roya edroi, a shepherd who was shepherding his flock, v'nich edroi uvola'ir, and he left the flock and he came into the city. He left the flock out there in the field and he came back into the city. Uboz ze'eva taraf, then the wolf came and was taraf. Taraf means to say that it pounced on it, but it doesn't eat it over there. It takes it back to its lair, back to its cave. Uva arivadaris, or a lion came in and pounced on it, which an ari doesn't do tariff, rather it actually pounces on it in its place and eats it right over there. Whereas a wolf goes and sneaks and kills it and takes it back to where it lives. But either way, the halacha is, as we learned in the braisa, is pata, that the shomer, the raya, is going to be exempt because it's an einus. Well, who could protect against a wolf or against a lion? Now, if you're going to say, but it's problematic because he was negligent, because he left the flock, and that's what the Gemara elsewhere explains, that later on the Tzadik Gimel Mabez, that it's talking about that he came back to the city at the time when old people come back to the city. And therefore, that's a normal thing. It's not considered negligence. Or it's actually where he heard the voice of the roar of a lion. He doesn't want to get eaten himself. And therefore, he came. Therefore, it's not considered a negligence. And since it's not a negligence, ultimately, a lion eating an animal is an einus, and therefore, he's going to be exempt. Now, but says the Braisa, Nich makli b'tarmilele, but if, let's say, he left his stick or his pouch on the animal, and then it was eaten up by the lion or the wolf, then chayv is going to be liable. Explains the Gemara, the Gemara is going to take us through this whole discussion to then prove its point that Rav is the one that held that Shlichas Yad does not need Chesaron. Vavinba, we had asked a question on this Braisa. Mishum denich makli v'tarmila le'achayiv? What, because he left his stick or his pouch and at one point he put it on, he's going to be liable? Hak shaklinu. But he took it off that animal. In other words, even if you're going to consider putting a stick or a pouch on an animal is considered misappropriating it because you're supposed to just watch it as a shepherd, you're not supposed to use it. However, but it's like he ended up returning it, meaning when you shleich b'yad, it's like if you return it, you undo the shleich b'yad, because once he takes his stick or his pouch off it, it's like returning it. And we already explained before that stam asnitin, as we learned in our Mishnah, is like a bishmal who holds that you don't need the asbailim. So you don't need the owner's awareness. So as long as you take off your stick, it's like you returned it back to him. Turn it back to him, you should go back to being a shemichinim and being exempt. Who cares that at one point you put your stick in it, now that's not there, you should be back exempt again. Now on that, we had explained that Amar of Nachman Amarav Rav Amarav had explained the name of Rav, but Oidnalav. That it's so I know that the stick or the pouch was still on it was when it was eaten by the lion or by the wolf. But then the question was, who cares that it was still on it at the time of when it was eaten? Hale mashcha. But the owner, the shepherd never did meshicha, never drew the animal near it. And therefore he never acquired the animal for it to be considered a shlichas yad to acquire it. Because metal and movable items like an animal are only acquired with meshicha, and therefore that, I mean, and that's why Mishnah later on, the Gimel Mabez teaches us that when a person tilts a barrel and he takes a revius of wine from it, he's only going to be chayiv for revius, because we need it, if you want to be chayiv, you have to actually do a meshicha, and then here he didn't do meshicha. So on that, v'amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok amar Rav, so Rav had explained, shehikisha b'makel. Okay, so you're right, it's not just enough that he put a stick on it, because putting a stick on it or your pouch on it would, even if it would be considered shlichas yad, but it wouldn't be considered shlichas yad to be going into the domain as like him to be a goslin, which is on one some level what a shlichas yad is, because you have to do, when you misappropriate, you have to actually acquire it through the misappropriation, and by just putting something on it, that's not considered a meshicha. So Rav explained, it's somewhere where he didn't just put the stick on the animal, he actually hit the animal with the stick when he put it on it, which that caused the animal to then run a little bit. Now that's considered meshicha, because the moment an animal picks up its hand and its foot through the person, that's like drawing it, it's making it move, therefore it's considered a meshicha. That's how Rav explained that b'raisa, why if he put on the stick on the animal, he's going to be chayiv now for all einsin, because he's considered like a rishaleich bayad. Now on that concludes the Gemara to this concept that we wanted to say to Stayim, to prove that it was Rav who said that for shlichas yad, you don't need a chasarin. Because from the fact that Rav explained the brisa that he was talking about where he hit the animal when he put the stick on it, and therefore that caused it to run, that's how he acquired it through shlichas yad. But when he hit the animal, it didn't cause any loss of value of the object of that he was watching. So how is that considered a shlichas bayad? Rather, we can infer from this that ksav shlichas yad, and it's chasar, and that proves the point that Rav was the one of the two disputants that holds that for to be considered shlichas yad, you don't need to have any loss of value of the object that was being watched. Now, Rashi actually asks that how does the Gemara know that the placing of the stick or the pouch, the liability, is because of shlichas yad, and that's how the Gemara is proving that obviously you don't need to have a chasaran. Maybe it's actually for a different reason that he's liable, and therefore there wouldn't be any proof. Maybe it's because he was shalel shalei midas, as Rav Sheshesh had said, by the case of the chavis of the barrel, because he used it without permission. That's why he's going to be liable. That's why he's like a gazlan, not because of shlichas yad. So in that Rashi's interpretation is that no, because this that we say that by a shomer, that if he's shalel shalei midas, if he uses it without the owner's permission, he's going to be chayv like a gazlan. That's only by something that doesn't get ruined through work, but an animal that gets weakened through the work that's done with it, and you're not supposed to be doing work with it, you're supposed to just be watching it, that is the beginning of shlichas bayad, of the halachas of shlichas yad. Therefore, it enters the realm and the terrain of the halachas of shlichas yad, and therefore, if you see the braces on land, you're chayiv, and that's what Rav was interpreting, obviously, it's considered shlichas yad, and therefore, we can prove our point that even though there's no chasaran over here, we see that Rav is the one of the two disputants that hold the shlichas yad does not need chasar. That the Gemara says, no. Actually, Amai could say shehekhisha b'makel. That actually, when he hit the animal with the stick, it actually got weakened from the hit, which was the chesaron, and that's what shlichas bayad, because it actually was a chesaron, because it hit it, it got injured. And the Gemara actually says dekanami. Actually, its precise reading would tell us that when Rav had told us this halacha of interpretation of the brayse of hekhisha b'makel, it wasn't just that he hit it with a stick; it was hekhisha b'makel. Actually, weakened it with the hitting of the stick, because diktani. Because when Rav had told us the interpretation, he said it's shehikisha b'makel. Now, when you say you hit with a stick, that sounds like that was a real hit, a strong hit. So shema mina, we can actually infer that to the contrary, that it was Rav who said that shlichas yad does need a chasaran, and that's why he said he hit it with a stick and not just put it and made it move with a stick. That actually proves the other way around. So the Gemara then says, so from the fact that Rav is the one that holds, as we just proved, that he's the one that holds that shlichas yad needs a chisaron, as we learned from the case of how we said that you hit it with a stick, So then it must be that Levi, the disputant of Rav, Sabar Shlichas Yad in its Shlichas Yad, so must be he's the one that held that Shlichas Yad, for it to be considered misappropriation, and to be Chayav no lines, and does not need a Chasar. My time to Levi, what's the reason of Levi that he holds that Shlichas Yad does not need Chasar, and that just misappropriating could be just touching it, just utilizing it, even though there's no lacking, it's already considered Chayav in the Einzin of a Shalech Bayad. So Amr B'yechanan, Mishum R'b'yesi ben Ebro, he says as follows, he says, Mishun Shlichas Yad, Hamur B'shem Misachar, it's different, this that it mentions the concept of Shlichas Yad, both by a Shemir Sachar, by a paid custodian, Mishlichas Yad Hamur B'shem Mechinam, from the fact that it talks about the halacha of misappropriating by the other custodian, by the watchman, the watch did it for free. In other words, what Reb Yisrael ben Arroy is trying to say is that they're not comparable. And that is, by Shem Mechinam, why does it say Shlichas Yad? For a purpose, to tell us the halacha of Shlichas Yad, which if I only had said it by Shem Mechinam, I would have known that it's what's considered misappropriating. If there was a loss of the value of the object that he's watching, if not, I would have thought that's not Shlichas Yad. But then why does it say it by Shemir Socher? And I could have known Shemir Socher from Shemir Chinam, as the Gemara shortly going to explain. Must be that why is repeat again Shlichas Yad by Shemir Socher to tell us a drasha and to tell us that actually it does not even need Chisarn. That's what Rabbi Yisrael ben Arroy says in interpreting the opinion of Levi, that Shlichas Yad does not need Chisar. Now, it was Rabbi Yechanan who had said this over the name of Yisrael ben Arroy. But as our Gemara contains on the base, says Rabbi Yechanan, Vani and me, Omer, I say, meaning he disagrees with his Rabbi, Rabbi Yisrael ben Arroy, and I say that Eina Mishunah, no, that there is no difference, there's nothing weird or different about the fact that it says Shlichas Yad again by Shem Mesachar, because actually there is a purpose why he mentions Shlichas Yad by Shem Mesachar, and it's not extra to tell us the drasha like Rabbi Yisrael ben Arroy says in interpreting the opinion of Levi, which is that it is superfluous, and therefore it's coming to tell us the drasha that Shlichas Yad does not need a chesaron, because again, if I only had the first pasuk by Shem Mechinam, I wouldn't have entertained to say that you're going to be chayav in Shlichas Yad if you didn't do anything to create a loss of value. Why does it say again to say that even if not? And then Rabbi Yechanan disagrees. Rabbi Yechanan holds that, no, Ein Mishunah, that, as the Gemara will explain, that there is a purpose why I repeat it, and it's not extra, and therefore you could say the Shlichas Yad, like Rav said, would require Chasar. So first the Gemara explains the opinion of his Rabbi. Umay Mishunah, what is it that Rabbi Yisrael ben Arroy is telling us that it's something abnormal, why does it say it again? So, as the Gemara explains, there's the halacha of Hashem Mechinim, one of the four custodians, is someone that watches for free. And the pasuk says, "V'nikrav balabai," so that the homeowner, meaning the shomer chinam, will come to the courts and he'll swear that he wasn't shaleich bayad. Now, so too by shomer sacher, it says by the paid custodian, it says shvuas Hashem tia, that there's going to be an oath between the two of them, and that is that the shomer sacher is going to take an oath. Where the Gemara in Ashaya later on the Tzadiyam on the base explains the first there's four parashas in Parashat Mishpatim that talks about the halachas of a shomer. The first parasha is Tumah by a Shemer Chinam, second one's by a Shemer Sachar. Now, by both of them it says, Im lo yishalach, that he was going to swear that he didn't misappropriate. But it sounds like if he was Shaleich Bayad, then he would be chayev in all those things that he would be exempt on. So for example, a Shemer Chinam would be chayev both on Geneva that he's usually exempt for and on Einzin. And because the moment that he's a Shaleich Bayad, so he really acquires it, it's in his domain and he has all the liabilities. And so to Shemer Sachar, who would be exempt by if it dies or if it breaks or if it's taken in captivity, which are Einzin, where normally he's exempt, but if it's Shaleich Bayad, he'd be Chayv. So on that says the Gemara, what Rabbi Yisrael ben Arroy was saying is that Loitoy Mishlichas Yad B'Shemer Sachar, it didn't have to say the halacha of liability for misappropriating of Shemer Sachar, because it would taste Shemer Chinam, you could learn it out from Shemer Chinam. Where Umar Shemer Chinam, if the unpaid custodian, Shepat B'Gneva Veda, that we see his halachas are more lenient. He's exempt if it's stolen from him or lost from him, as long as he didn't misappropriate it. As the pasuk says, Im lo yimotzei agan, if they didn't find the thief, so v'nikrav balabai, so the homeowner, I mean the shemer, comes and he swears that he comes close to it, he swears that he wasn't shaleich bayad, and that he wasn't negligent in his safeguarding, and he's exempt. As the Gemara says later on the topic, that when it says v'nikrav, he comes to the courts, it means that he takes an oath, and therefore he says, yes, it was stolen, but I swear to that effect, and he's exempt from Geneva Aveda. So if by Shemer Chinam, who's more lenient, that he's exempt from Geneva Aveda, Shalach Bayad Chayiv, if he touches the object that he wasn't supposed to touch, he misappropriates it, That's what the pasuk teaches us. Already, b'shem echad that he's chayiv, he's liable. So shem esachar shegneva shechayba gneva avedus. So regarding a paid custodian who his halacha is the most stringent, that he's liable for theft and if it gets lost, because that's the parsha shnia. The second parsha talks by the shem esachar, and there it says im gani b'gani b'get stolen that he's liable. So like kolshkin, so isn't it all the more so definite that if shalech b'yad is going to be chayiv einsin? So lamai hilchasa kasvina rachmanis. So for what halachic purpose did the Torah write the liability of shlichas yad b'shem esachar? Leimelchot, it's coming to tell you, it says Rabbi Yisrael ben Arai, which is the opinion of Levi, shlichas yad in its chesaron. The reason why he repeats it is because if I only said shlichas yad one time b'shem echidim, I would have thought that it needs a chesaron. He repeats it again, seemingly unnecessary to tell you that you don't even need a chesaron to be chayim in shlichas yad. That was Rabbi Yisrael ben Arai. On that came Rabbi Yechon his Talmud and said, "Vaniyirman, I say ain mishuna. No, that is not abnormal. It's actually not superfluous because Kirab Elazar. Kirab Elazar says, Dama that he says Dava do achasi, that they're both one and the same. Meaning, the way the pasuk is coming to teach us something by one, so it is coming to tell us by the other one because they're both necessary and there's no superfluous pasuk. So explains the Gemara, my Dava do achas. What is this? What Rabbi Elazar says that both of them are one? Why are they both the same? Why is it necessary, as Rabbi Yisrael ben Arai had pointed out, to say the halach of shlichas yad by shem esachar? So that explains the Gemara mishum de'ikla mifrach. The reason why Rabbi Yechanan holds, and so too Rabbi Elazar, is saying that you cannot know shem esachar for shem echinim is because you can refute that limud. Because you could say, maybe you can't learn out shem esachar from shem echinim. Because mala shem echinim, because what do I find by the unpaid custodian has a stringency that shem esachar doesn't have? What is that? Shekem esham to shem ekeifel betoyin tainis ganav. He has to pay at sometimes double the amount that he was negligible for when he makes a claim that it was stolen from him. So in other words, if let's say they come to the shem and say, hey, give me back my thing, and he claims it was stolen from him, then witnesses come and say, you're a liar, it's by you. Then he has to pay keifel. As the pasuk says, "Im lo yimotze agam," they don't find the thief, which the Gemara Baba Kama Samach Gimel Beis explains. Meaning, what does it mean they don't find the thief? If they don't find like he had claimed that it was stolen from him, rather that he himself stole it, what does it say afterwards? It says, "Asher shein elikim yisham shnayim." This that the court mo holds him liable, have to pay double. So by Hashem Echinim, it's possible for him to be liable in kefil, but Hashem Esachar, you can never have kefil because if he claims that it was stolen from him, he's going to actually pay the principal because he's chayiv on geneva. So no other claim that he makes can bring him to kefil. So therefore, since that's a leniency on some level, maybe that's why only shlichas yad applies to shem echinim and not to shem esachar. But says the Gemara, man delay parach sava, but Rabbi Yisrael ben Arai, who disagreed with his student Rabbi Yechanan and held that it was superfluous because you could learn shem esachar shem echinim and would hold it's not a refutation, it's because he holds karen debalei shvua, the liability of the principal without even having to take an oath, which is what shem esachar is in regards to geneva, is adifa mikfeila b'shvua. It's more stringent than the ability of being chayev on kefil with requiring an oath. In other words, Rabbi Yisrael ben Arai holds that shem esachar is always going to be more stringent. Why? Because he's chayev in the principal, even without swearing falsely, in a place where shem echinim is going to be exempt, which is in regards to halachas of geneva veda. That's considered more of a stringency than the shem echinim who could pay kefil, because that's a stringency that's only applicable only after he swears falsely that it was stolen from him, and then witnesses come and say that he stole it, because the whole liability of a shemer by kefil is only when he claims it was stolen from him, is only after he takes an oath, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain. And therefore, that's not considered a stringency, because that's only when he swears falsely, that only then could he be chayav and kefil to the original owner, to the mafkid. But that's what Rabbi Yisrael ben Arai holds, that that's not considered a stringency over Shem Esachar. Shem Esachar is automatically chayav, even without a false oath, for geneva v'aveda, straight up. And therefore, that's considered more of a stringency, and therefore, you would be able to learn it out. And therefore, they hold that the extra halach of shlichas yad, but Shem Esachar is coming to teach you, like Levi, that shlichas yad in its chesaron does not need a lacking. That's one resolution for the opinion of Levi. Rava Amar, he says that although in the previous Gemara's discussion we made it sound like that there's the party lines that Rabbi Yisrael ben Arai, who is coming to explain like Levi, is on the one hand, and Rabbi Yechon, his student who disagreed, is like Rabbi Elazar. On that, Rava says that you could even say that the interpretation for Levi of Rabbi Yisrael ben Arai is even like Rabbi Elazar. And that doesn't have to be that it's not like him. Because the reason is The Torah should not have written Shlichas Yad this halacha loy b'shem mechinam v'loy b'shem esachar. Not by either one of them. Not by the unpaid custodian or by the paid custodian. Well, then how would you know the halacha of Shlichas Yad that they're chayav and einzin? Because of a tesi mishayil, you could learn out the halacha of b'shem mechinam v'shem esachar from mishayil who the Torah holds a shayil, a borrower, liable for all einzin. And the reason, the logic, the rationale for that is because of what's called kol ano shaloi. All the benefit is his. What do you mean? He's not paying anything for the utility of this. He just gets to borrow someone else's thing and give it right back. So therefore, since he's getting all the benefit, the Torah held him to the higher standard. He's chayiv even for an einus. Now, a shaleach bayad, someone that misappropriates someone else's thing that he's supposed to be watching, is also kol ano shaloi. He's getting all the benefit. He's not paying for it. He's not supposed to be using it. But he's getting all that no. So therefore we should learn out the halacha of liability for einzin from shayil, because umashayil, if we find buyer borrower, diladas bayam kavod, who he at least is borrowing, he's getting all the benefit, but at least he's doing it with the acquiescence, with the consent of the owner, and still shalach bayad, the halacha is when he stretches out his hand to use the object, which is to do the work with it, but he has permission to it, but still chayiv, he's liable in einzin, because kalana shalai. So regarding someone who's a custodian, who is either watching for free or watching for pay, where when they stretch out their hands to use the object without the acquiescence, without the awareness of the owner, so like Kalshikin, isn't all the more so that they for sure should be chayiv in einzin, because it's no worse, if anything, it's create a liability for kalana shalai, they're getting all the benefit without any, even without any consent of the owner, for sure they should be chayiv in einzin. So then why does the Torah say the halach of shlichas bayad by either one, by shem mechinam or by shem esachar? So that says, Rava, chadur loy melecha shlichas yad ein tzrich chasaron. And this is the point again where we have Dovah da'achasi, where the interpretation of Rabbi Lazar says, Rava could even be like Reis ben Aroi, where yeah, both are the same. What does it mean both are the same? Not like the Rabbi Yochanan interpreted both are the same that they're necessary. No, actually both are the same that they're unnecessary. You don't need Shem Mechinim or Shem Esachar. So the Rebbe Lazar's statement could be not just Rebbe Yechanan, like the first interpretation. It could even be like Rav is saying for Rebbe Yosef ben Aroi. And the reason why they're saying is because they're both unnecessary. Well, then the question then becomes, okay, so then why are they necessary? Why does it say Shlichas Yad by both? So one of them is to tell you this halacha that we're saying, which Rebbe Yosef ben Aroi is coming to prove for Levi, is a Shlichas Yad ein tzrich chasaron. That's extra. Because, yeah, the primary halacha of Shlichas Yad we know from Shail. Why does it say it again? Oh, to say that you don't even need to have any lacking in it by misappropriating it. Now, Ve'idach, and the other one, which it says again, a second time, Shlichas Yad B'Shem Esachar, is Shlei Taimer Daya Lov Min Adin Liz Kenitin. That we shouldn't say the halachic principle of that even if we're learning out from a Kabbal Chaymer, from Shail, which we said that we would have learned it out, but we would have said it's limited to the parameters of the halacha of Shail. In other words, if it didn't say by the other Shomrim, this halach of Shlichas Bayad, which is the second extra one, the first extra one first tells us that it's even if there's no chasar. The second extra one is to say that we're telling you it's from the halachas of Shomrim itself. Why? Because if we would only learn from Shail, then would have said that okay, then the halacha of Shlichas Yad of Shomrim, where we know it from the halachas of Shail, should then be just like we know it by the halachas of Shail, and it shouldn't have greater liability. Now, ma shayil b'bayilim, but then we would say, just like by a borrower, who if you have the halacha, what's called ba'al of imai, if the owner that gave it to him, that lent it to him, is working for him at that time, the halacha tells us pater, that he's exempt, that's what the pater says in ba'al of imai, he doesn't pay for einzin. So then I would have said that af shay mechinim v'shay mesachah, then the same thing halacha would apply, because that's where we learn it out from shayil, same thing would be that, by the custodians, whether they're getting paid or they're doing it for free, if the shalech bayad, I would then say that bibaylim, if the owner who gave it to them to watch is working for them at that time, then putter, then they would be putter actually in that situation from the einzin of shalech yad. That's why it said an extra pasuk by Shem Esachar to say that he's going to be liable even if at that time the owner is working for him. And since it revealed that by saying an extra time shalech yad by Shem Esachar, so then that would apply by all the halachas of Shomrim, that the halacha of Shlichas Yad would apply for liability of Einzin, even if Ba'al of Imai. That says Rava is an interpretation for Rabbi Yisrael ben Aroi, even to say it like Rabbi Lazar, who says Dovah da'achasi. Now, based on this, says Rava, Ulam and Amar Shlichas Yad Tzrich Chasaron. Now, according to the opinion that of Rav, who says that Shlichus Yad requires a chesaron, and therefore we don't learn out from Shlichus Yad of Shemachinim anything, because again, according to this interpretation that Rav has said, that we need both. They're both extra. So what are they both saying? Well, one's teaching us Shlichus Yad ein tzrich chesaron, which wouldn't apply according to the opinion of tzrich chesaron, and the other one would tell us that this halacha of Dai Lam Din Liz Kedin doesn't apply, that it would be even if Ba'al Avima. So, but according to the one that holds, like Rav, the Shlichus Yad needs a chesaron, so how do you explain according to his interpretation what's the two seemingly superfluous halachas of Shlichus Yad b'shemechid b'shemesacha? So on that, the one is, would apply like by the first mandamar, that we shouldn't say that it's limited to the parameters that's by Shail, that it's exempt from the Ainsin of Kalano Shaloi when Ba'al Avima, that doesn't apply by the other Shaimer. Fine. But what's ve'idach? What is the other halacha of when it says Shlichus Yad by Shemachinim? What does that come to teach? Not like the other manda amma that to say even that you chayv when there's no chesaron, because this manda amma like Rab holds that you need to have a chesaron. Is like the Tanya, like learn the Brisa, teaches a different halacha. And the pasuk says by Shemachinim and Shemais, v'nikur bal habayis elo elikim, that the homeowner, meaning referring to the shomer, who the unpaid custodian, comes to the court. Says the Brisa, what does it mean? What's he coming to the court for? It means l'shvur, to take an oath. And this is what the pasuk is saying. Im lo yimotzei, if we don't find, what don't we find? We don't find, like he said, this shemer, that it was stolen from him, rather he himself stole it. And he already was v'nikrav elo elikim, already came to the judges, to the courts, to take an oath, and he already swore falsely. And then when this has come, that's what the pasuk says, asher shin elikim, that then what the judges will incriminate him, then he'll have to pay what the pasuk says over there, the penalty of kefal. Says the Brisa, is that so? Ata Omer, are you saying when it says v'nikrav, that when this shomer chinam, who we call him the Baal HaBayis, comes to the court, it means l'shvur, it means that he took an oath, and then that's when he's liable for the halach of kefal, that would Eden then later come and say, you're a liar, we know it's by you? Or maybe when it says that he comes to the court, it means for litigation, meaning from the moment that he just makes a claim that it was stolen from him, even though he didn't swear to that effect, already then he'll have to pay kefal if witnesses come afterwards. That says the Braisa, that's why, and this explains why it says the term Shlichus Yad b'shemechinam was for this Gezer Shava, that the Braisa is going to show that v'nikrav Baal HaBayis Elikim means for a shua and not just for litigation. Because Nemr Shlichus Yad Lamata, it says Shlichus Yad later on, further down, meaning by Shem HaSachar. It says Shvuas Hashem Ti Ben Shneim, that it's going to be an oath between them, between the Shem HaSachar, the paid custodian, and the owner, Im Loi Shalach Bayad, that if he didn't misappropriate it. And V'Nemr Shlichus Yad Labala, it also says earlier up, meaning from the first parsha, it says misappropriating by the parsha of Shem Echinam, where it says V'Nikr Balabayas Elikim, Im Loi Shalach, that he's going to come to the court if he didn't misappropriate, which teaches us malahal in the shvua, just like over there, it says clearly in the pasuk b'shem esachar, when it talks about his misappropriation, it talks about taking an oath to that effect. Afkan l'shvua, here also by the shemachinam, when it talks about the term shlichus yad, why is that coming? Why was that necessary? As we said, according to the one that says it's not darshan to say that ein b'chesaron, it's actually only if there is a chesaron. Why does it say shlichus yad? For this, Gezeir Shavah, to compare it to Shem HaSachar, to teach us that the liability of Kefal will not be just by making a claim that it was stolen from him. It's only after he takes an oath to that effect. And also we learn that the Shem Echinim is going to be exempt from Geneva Vaveda when he swears to that effect that it was stolen or lost from him. That also teaches us that Salacha, that Shem Echinim has a lesser liability in the Halachas of Shemira than the Shem HaSachar, where he's exempt from Geneva Vaveda. But again, that's the primary point that the Gemara is illustrating from this Braisa. We ask, why does it say Shlichus Yad by Shem Echinim? That is, there's nothing more that's coming to teach us. We already know it from Shail. And the fact that Lai Dailam Dinlis Ganidim, we know from Shem HaSachar. That says the Gemara, yes, we know that from that it's coming to teach us the halacha of the Braisa to compare Shem Echinim to Shem HaSachar, to tell us that this liability of a Nikr Baal HaBayis Elikim, where that we find that he was lying, that it was stolen from him, is only as he already took an oath. Okay, and that's why it says Shlichus Yad, to say, to compare to Shlichus Yad of Shem HaSachar, where there also is talking about the halacha of taking an oath, here also is talking about taking an oath, and that's when he's going to be chayav for kefal, not when he just came to litigate in court.